Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So yesterday's, whatever that was in Richmond, Virginia, and as I said yesterday, I believe, and as I told Joe Walsh, I believe that was a show of force. I believe that was, for many of the people there who are dressed up in their costumes and looking like they're ready for war, this was a dry run to say, hey, look what we can do in your city. At least that's my thought. I'm here to share some thoughts on the gun nuttery we saw yesterday in Richmond. I've asked our good friend Ben Jackson to come talk with us. I view him as one of the leading gun sanity activists in the country. Ben, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, I am always glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, thoughts on what we saw yesterday in Richmond?
I'm a little bit torn on it. One is that I want to say that I always believe that an important function of citizenship is that we are able to stand up and speak to our government when we feel that what they are doing is wrong.
Agreed.
But the inherent difference is that this was a group of heavily armed people who brought their guns and wore masks to stand in front of a government building to intimidate the government into doing their bidding, which was contrary to the will of the people who elected a government that intended to enact gun violence prevention legislation. And they're two really, really different things. So that's what scares me about it. It's not that these people had a point of view and they expressed that point of view. Even though I fundamentally disagree with their point of view, I would stand there with them for their right to say it.
And I think as we all would, I believe.
Yeah.
In Harrisburg here, I've let people speak. You know, this is the place to do it. Don't agree with you, but absolutely it is your right. My problem was, I saw them all dressed up. I saw them all with their military armor mitts. To me, this looked like an exercise more than an intimidation exercise more than a lobby day.
Right. A lot of these people were making fun of the Women's March for their, quote unquote, pussy hats, the pink hats, the idea that they had for the emblem of that. While these people were wearing camouflage and carrying semi-automatic weapons, right? That the emblem of their march is violence on the very same day that is set aside for the paragon of nonviolent protest in this country, right? That happened on Martin Luther King Day was especially egregious. And, the problem is that they conflate patriotism with armed insurrection, as opposed to patriotism as an expression of both patriotic dissent, but also support for a democratically elected government that, in this case, is doing the job that the people elected it to do. They just happen to not like it, and they want to use their guns to scare the government into not doing it. And they're dramatically different mindsets.
No.
But the fact that it happened on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, this heavily armed mob descending on a government building, is just disgusting.
Was Northam right or wrong for declaring a state of an emergency in your mind?
Yeah, I think it was right. I mean, so the whole thing that we do in gun violence prevention is the thing that we care about is public safety. What we want to do is save lives. And the fact of the matter is that bringing this many armed people, using their arms to try to influence policy, was an exceptionally dangerous powder keg that wouldn't have taken more than the tiniest provocation to turn into a massacre. And so while I have significant problems with Governor Northam, and I believe that he and his Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax should resign from their offices, I believe that the things that they did to prevent that bloodshed yesterday were the right things to do, and they ended up saving lives. So I applaud them for that.
Yeah, I mean, because I look at, the issue, and I had a bunch of people tell me that, they're gun grabbers, and, the legislation that they're proposing is going to, take our rights to have guns away. And I guess I didn't read it that way. I mean, it seems simple to me that they're looking to pursue background checks to make sure that, we keep law-abiding citizens having guns, as long as they can pass the background check. It seemed to me that, you know, they wanted to limit the number of handguns you could buy per month, which doesn't seem unreasonable. I don't know why you'd need, you know, a gun a day, but okay. And, you know, and having the ability to dedicate venues as gun-free areas, like the NRA already does, you know, seems radical. Seems, you know, not radical to me, and seems like common sense.
And it is common sense, and we can look around the country to states and cities that have laws that emulate what Virginia wants to pass and what the people of Virginia elected their government to pass. And we can say that these laws save lives. You know, I live in Massachusetts. We are one of the states with the sort of strictest gun violence prevention laws in this country. In the town that I live, there are multiple places you can go to buy guns. Everyone who wants a gun that can pass a background check can still get a gun. You know, there are... there's no legitimate or intellectually honest argument against the rules that Virginia is trying to propose. These are basic common sense laws that the populace overwhelmingly wants, and which the evidence in the laboratory of the United States where this already exists shows that both allows people to exercise their Second Amendment rights while saving lives. There's no legitimate reason to argue against these laws except for we don't like them.
Yeah.
And we don't like them is not a good enough reason, right? That, you know, we think about the people that we know who have lost people to gun violence. You know, I think about Sandy and Lonnie Phillips, who lost their daughter in Aurora, or I think about, you know, Kari Pennybaker, who you've had on the show before, who lost his mother to gun suicide, or Fred Guttenberg, who lost his daughter in Parkland. And I think about every, you know, 40,000 people a year have this story. Millions of people in America, more people that have basically more people die in a year and a half in America from gun violence than were killed in the entire Vietnam War. And so we have this problem, right? We have this problem that is an existential problem to America. We have the population of Palm Beach, of you know, major cities in Florida disappearing every year. And we have a government that won't do anything about it. And it's just scary. You know, this idea that there's a loss of freedom from these very basic, smart, common sense reforms that save lives and still allow people to have guns is just preposterous when we live under a tyranny of gun violence already. You know, the freedoms we sacrifice to allow unfettered guns in our nation are far, far greater than the freedoms we would sacrifice to allow very basic measures to save lives onto the law books in Virginia and across the country.
Now, if you look at yesterday's display, does that help or hurt the cause, do you think, nationwide?
I think that ultimately it hurts their cause. You know, I think that the image of heavily armed, camouflaged, and masked people marching down the street is an image that we associate with Nazi Germany, that we associate with North Korea, that we associate with totalitarian governments that use military might and paramilitary might to intimidate governments and populace into rejecting democratically mandated reforms. And that's exactly what happened in Virginia yesterday. That is the display of totalitarianism. It is exactly the opposite of what the founders intended. It's mob rule. And so in the long term, it's going to hurt them. It might help them in the next election. You know, it might help them to, there may be people who are like, we don't want the armed thugs to hurt us. And so in order to appease them, we're going to do this. But I think in the long term, it absolutely hurts their agenda. And but the problem is, while they're doing it, they hurt America.
Yeah, I mean, I look at that and I don't want to see any U.S. city like that. I don't want to see. Look, I've gone to Mexico and I've seen, you know, the sandbags on the corners with the M50 behind the sandbags and the guys walking around with M16s. I don't want to live in that kind of country.
I don't either. And, you know, the other flip side of this is that was a very white crowd. And I imagine that if you took that same march and filled it with black and brown people, those exact same people who were there would be losing their mind.
But right? I had a guy yesterday who was insistent that, you know, the guy who wore blackface is trying to steal black people's guns.
Well, that's it's ridiculous, right? That there's no law pending in Virginia that would take anyone's guns. You know, that it's just an on-its-face ridiculous argument.
But it's a slippery slope, Ben. You start with this, the next thing you know, they're goose-stepping to your door.
Well, you know, the slope we're on right now is pretty slippery with the blood of 40,000 Americans every year. And, you know, 1934, the federal government outlawed machine guns for the populace. And, you know, if they think there's a slippery slope for outlawing guns, well, they are really taking the long path to get there, because we haven't, you know, aside from the 10-year assault weapons ban of 1994, there have been no gun bans issued in the United States over that period of time. And so this argument of they're coming to take your guns, they're gun grabbers, it's just a disingenuous bit of propaganda designed for political gain. The exact evidence of what we have in this nation, what we've displayed in this nation, and what the gun violence prevention movement in this nation is arguing for is just fundamentally not what they're trying to portray it. They are lying.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is it's a good PR scheme. I mean, it's a good marketing
sure.
tool. It gets guns off the shelf, man.
You bet. You know, fear is a powerful motivator. And fundamentally, those people who were carrying their guns in Virginia yesterday were cowards. They are afraid of existing without their guns. And you know what? No one's trying to take their guns. You know, that's the end of it. And so, but the problem is they are so afraid, they are so paranoid that they are really, really susceptible to this propaganda, this lie that the NRA and Ted Cruz and others throw out there that we're gun grabbers coming to take their guns. And it's just nobody's doing that. It's just, it's a really, really easily disproven lie that they don't care to hear the truth about.
Yeah, the other thought I had is that the good thing by seeing this display is that when Trump starts another war, you know, we'll have a whole bunch of people who are already armed, already have the uniforms. We can just bust them up and send them right over.
You know what? I'm all for it. I suspect that they're not. You know, I mean, when they follow a president who's got chronic bone spurs that kept him out of Vietnam until he was almost 70, well, you know, he's, and I say this as a veteran, as somebody who served, who carried an M16 in the service of the nation for a number of years. Let him go, because, you know, the people who volunteered to serve, we didn't volunteer to serve a president, we volunteered to serve a nation.
There you go. I wanted to ask you about today's impeachment, like a whole different story. Thoughts on what we saw today?
I'm just so ultimately saddened to watch the Republican Party abdicate its patriotism for political power. You know, there was a time when either party, you could say, there was a maturity of either party who maybe disagreed on the issues, but who cared enough about the nation and who about doing what was right for America to act against the interest of their party. And ultimately, it led a corrupt president to resign in Richard Nixon. And when we look in just one generation, basically, from Nixon to now, two generations, the complete cowardice of the Republican Party to even allow witnesses, to allow a trial to proceed without evidence that has been subpoenaed and requested because they want their president to retain power is sickening. It is not the country I volunteered to serve. It is not the government that I would have fought and died for. It is a puppet regime that the rest of the world is laughing at and the founders would be ashamed of, and I'm ashamed of too.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I expected this out of McConnell, and you know, not surprising, because I agree with Joe Walsh, who said earlier he expects it to be well over by the time the State of the Union address comes around so that they can move on past it. I just think it's a shame that we may never hear what the monster mustache John Bolton has to say. We're probably never going to hear, other than clips on Fox News, what Giuliani has to say, or Mulvaney, or any of them. And I think they should all be under oath in the hot seat answering questions on, you know, why we privatized our State Department to Giuliani, why Bolton didn't want to be part of the drug deal. I think these are important. Why Mulvaney, didn't move the money along. There's questions that have to be answered.
You know, there has never been a Senate impeachment trial at any level of judges, of secretaries, of presidents that has not had at least witnesses. And the fact that this sham court is designed to set up a reality TV show to benefit the reality TV president is just sickening. I believe in this country and I believe in who we are with every fabric of my being, but I don't know how we get past this. I don't understand how I can't figure out how we as a nation who believe in democracy, who believe in a government that exists to serve the people, can continue under a government that that just flatly refuses to do that, that exercises power in the interest of power and not power in the interest of the people. 40% of the people cheering it on. I don't know where we go from here.
I agree with you. I started today off by going, we're just completely polarized. Yeah. You either love Trump or you hate him. And there doesn't seem to be anyone in between that's going to move us in any direction of sanity. And ultimately, it's going to come down to November in the ballot box, and hopefully we can turn the corner. But I fear this just ends up turning into now the Republicans they're going to want their pound of flesh, and whoever the Democrat is, they're going to for whatever reason they're going to go after. I just see it that way.
Yeah, I mean this whole thing from the Republicans is about fundraising for the 2020 election for Donald Trump. And that's what this is. They're setting it up as a reality TV show for the reality TV president. And they are going to hand Donald Trump his rose and make him their bride, Mitch McConnell is, and hope that they can ride it through to November. And, the only thing that I can say is that the only way we can fight this is to make sure that every single person is registered to vote, has a voting plan for the general, and is voting for the opponent to Trump of the other major party, no matter who they are and no matter if they're not their perfect candidate. Yeah, you might perfect. Have to hold your breath and vote against them.
And to highlight your point about the fundraising, I literally in the last 20 minutes got an email from Trump's super PAC saying that we just need 147 more conservatives to pitch in and unlock 500% matching to help Donald Trump. So there's somebody out there who's gonna match 5-1 for every dollar you give to Trump.
Yep, and that's what they're doing. They are using the solemn exercise of congressional oversight that should be happening in this country as a cynical, disgusting, money-grabbing pitch. And it just disgusts me.
It is the perfect end to this administration, though. It's all about it's all about the kleptocracy. It's about show me the money. Ben, I appreciate the time, the thoughts. As always, great stuff. I look forward to talking to you again, man.
Thanks, Rick. We'll talk soon.
Outstanding. Our good friend Ben Jackson, who, like I said, I think he's one of the really good gun sanity guys in the country. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Saving.